Hello and welcome to the Managing Uncertainty podcast. I'm Brian Strauser, Principal and Chief Executive here at BrightPath. And in this week's episode, I want to talk about how resilience is no longer just about managing plans, but how it has evolved to shaping strategy, building influence, and leading an uncertainty. Now, technical excellence in what we do as resilience leaders is still expected. You still have to be a subject matter expert in the thing that you're trying to do here, which is around business continuity, crisis management, IT disaster recovery, or some of the other resilience domains. But the differentiator, as you've heard me talk about over the last several weeks, is influence. Technical excellence is expected, but influence is now the way to differentiate yourself as a resilience leader. We've talked before about how the role of the resilience leader needs to evolve. The traditional view has always been that resilience is seen as something operational. You create the plans, you check the box, you get these things done. And that is the reality that we used to communicate to executives. And we thought that this led to success in resilience. But the new reality is that organizations now expect resilience to drive business value. Business leaders expect that resilience leaders will help shape executive decision-making. And that influence is the real differentiator for resilience programs today. There's a lot of external drivers that help shape this. Complexity of business, the uncertainty globally in what is going on in the world, regulatory scrutiny, particularly around cybersecurity, higher stakeholder expectations. The important thing here to remember is that the resilience leader's true role, your true role, is to protect and enable the organization's strategy, not just responding for when things go wrong. There are three priorities that we talk about in our white paper report, The Strategic Edge, Wielding Influence as a Resilience Leader. Those priorities are, first, strategic alignment, that your resilience activities directly connect to business goals, showing that clear connection between what you are doing and how you are helping the business be successful. And in doing so, you need to be able to speak the same language as your executives about growth, about risk, about strategy, and about competitiveness, not just about compliance. The second is executive presence. And here we're not talking about how you dress. I mean, I'm wearing a concert t-shirt and an overshirt today, but it is about showing up as a peer to senior leaders, not just a technical function. But you deserve to be in that conversation, and you're showing up in that way, that you are delivering insights clearly, without jargon, and through a business lens. And third, that you're building game-changing relationships, that you are building cross-functional alliances beyond just resilient stakeholders. And you are mapping your influence networks internally and seeing who moves the needle and seeing how you can build and enhance those relationships. Again, influence here is not about who you know. It is rather who listens to you when it matters. And that is not something you can achieve just during a crisis. You have to do this along the way. The third thing I want to focus on here are just some practical moves to build influence as a resilience leader. And we talk more about this in our white paper, but we talk about conducting a relationship audit. Where are your alliances strong or weak in the organization? And for you to think about how to focus your conversations on outcomes. How does this help us be more competitive? That you think about volunteering for strategic initiatives, even if they're not just risk projects. But what are the things that you can get involved with that demonstrate your leadership beyond just being the resilience person? And that you show up consistently in times of calm, not just during times of crisis. That you are a partner to the business in all things, not just when they need you the most. There are some common mistakes here to avoid, of course. Over-investing in technical work that has low executive visibility, or as I used to call it, hiding in your cubicle staring at a spreadsheet because you don't want to go engage in the way that business leaders expect. Or leading with fear-based messaging. What if the worst happens? That is the worst way, by the way, to promote your program, move your program forward. Speaking operationally instead of strategically, and then staying siloed inside of your function in security or risk or compliance. You have to be out there advocating for your program. We view influence as now a core competency of resilience leadership, and resilience leaders who adapt to this new norm will be seen as strategic advisors, not as an insurance policy. So I would challenge you to ask yourself, are you just managing plans, or are you helping to shape the outcomes strategically for your organization? That's it for this edition of the Managing Uncertainty podcast. I'll be back next week with another new episode. Be well.